Jesus is coming. He's going to come in the air and call his bride to be with him. And we're going up. And then he's coming again. He's coming the first time to get his bride. He's coming a second time to set things right. Think about that. Coming the first time with love, longing to see the one he paid for with his blood. He's coming a second time, clipping off heads. Think about that. He is coming. As sure as you're breathing, he's coming. Think about that. And I hope you're ready. All right. We got several things to give you this morning as God has given us, and we want you to listen carefully. Appreciate what the Lord has done, and appreciate all the prayers, all the help. We get to finish our treatments Tuesday, if everything continues as is, and we have no cancer in our lung. They have done everything, so that's good news, and we won't have to have no more radiation. So everything's looking on the upswing, and two more days, and we'll be done with the treatments. So appreciate all the prayers, all the support, and people has give us gas money and food money, and we just appreciate what everybody's done, and I can't thank you enough. I told you about the prayer blanket I was given, and I've been able to use that as a tool you don't realize. I don't know if it looks funny, a man carrying a blanket or what. I don't know what the deal is, but everybody stops and questions me, what's that for? I said, well, just let me tell you what it's for. And I get to just sit down beside them and tell them about every stitch it was prayed over and the scripture that's on it. And the lost man, I've been trying to win to the Lord. He made me a cross. He's an artist, a graphic artist, talented. And he made me a cross, said, I want you to have this, preacher. And I keep that wrapped up in that blanket, and it's the tools that the Lord will allow you to have to be a witness. And you pray. I made some friends up there having a hard time. They're in a lot worse shape than whatever I've been in. And some of them, the outlook ain't very good. Some of it, just a matter of time before they go out in eternity. Some of them praise the Lord. One family I've heard, they're just giving God the glory, praising the Lord, and having a big time and talking about him. And there's some that is mad at the world. And they don't know, they'll have no hope. Do you have hope this morning?
Yeah.
Are you truly saved? I mean, I'm not talking about religious saved. I'm not talking about family saved. I'm not talking about mommy and daddy saved. Are you saved this morning? Have you yourself received Christ as your Savior, repented of your sins, and received him? Do you know that for a fact? If Christ had come 5 minutes ago, would you still be sitting there? I mean, what a question. If Christ had come 5 minutes ago, how do you know? How do you know for sure? Has he changed you? Are you still what you was? Everybody look at me. If you're still what you was, you're lost. If you're still what you was, you're lost. Because he don't come in and clean things up and make you new and you still be the same. It don't work that way. He makes you brand new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you say, well, I got my own way. Then you'll go to hell. Well, I got my own thoughts. You'll go to hell. Everybody understand? It's the way Jesus said, or you won't go. Huh?
Amen.
You play by his rules. Now you do what you want to do. It's your business. All right? It's your business.
Right.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
But, talk to an older man. He's 82 years old. I thought he was like 60. He's 82 up there getting cancer treatments. And I said, you know, Lord, help you. Yes, I know the Lord. He said, a man would be a fool not to know the Lord. I said, that's exactly right. I mean, he got right excited about it, you know. And he said, yes, sir. So that's the truth. You'll be a fool.
Yes.
For the fool said in his heart, there is no God. We all right? All right, let's pray together. Father, we come this morning and we sure do thank you for all that you've done and given. I deserve nothing. You've given me everything. We as a whole deserve nothing, and you give every one of us everything. We got far more than we've ever earned. We ain't earned nothing. And you give us everything, and we love you and thank you for it. Most of all, I'm thanking you that you moved inside of my heart, my life. And though I have failed you, you cannot fail me. And Lord, I appreciate that this morning. Now, Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts through our Holy Spirit, through thy word. Speak to every heart, every man, every woman. And Lord, I pray for those listening on live stream and YouTube and those who will go back and listen later on the webpage. I pray, oh God, that you will stir hearts, that we might see a difference in lives, that our homes would be changed, our churches be changed, our cities, our country, all for Christ's sake. And we thank you and praise you. Touch me fresh, I pray. Remove anything hurtful, anything sinful in my mind and my heart. I don't want to be a hindrance. I only want to be a help. And I'll praise you this morning in Jesus' name and amen. I want to remind you of the preacher that I know, that he said that he had a crack in his drywall. And when he looked at that crack, he said, I got to have that fixed. And he couldn't do it. So he called a painter, a professional painter, drywall man, to come in, look at this. Yeah, I'll fix it. And he fixed the crack and repainted, and the wall looked perfect. It was just wonderful. And in just a few weeks, the crack come back. So it aggravated the man, of course. That would aggravate anybody. I just paid you to fix that. Now it's back. And he called him, and he come back, and he said, I'm so sorry. And he redone his work. And after he redone it, repainted, everything was great and satisfied, no extra charge, everything was good. And then 4 weeks later, the crack come back. Well, the man, the preacher, he was aggravated. So he called, supposed to be the best in town. And he come up there and said, can you fix that? And he looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and looked at it. He said, well, what do you think? And he kept looking at it. He said, well, are you going to say anything? He said, yeah, I can't fix it. He said, I thought you was the best. I thought you could fix it. He said, well, he said, I do this for a living. He said, but I can't fix that because that's not your problem. Your problem is in your foundation. He said, you get your foundation fixed, I can repair your sheetrock. But your foundation is the problem. Now that's what's wrong with us today. We got foundation problems. And the foundation goes all the way back to the home, to the heart of the home, the heart of men and women in the home. If there's problems in the church, it's because the home ain't right. If there's problems in town, it's because the home ain't right. If there's problems in the country, it's because the home ain't right. It's because the heart in the home is wrong. That's where it all comes back to. Now, we have problems with the foundation, and it's very evident that there's problems with the foundation because of all that we see. It's because we won't do what God said. Now, we're learning, but we're not changing. I believe the Bible says, I believe Paul wrote to Timothy, did he not? And says, ever learning, but not coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know, I've told you many times, and I'm sure you notice it more because I keep reminding you, but when you talk to people, it's always, I know. I guess it's sick of everybody being so intelligent. We got the dumbest smart people in the world. We got the dumbest smart people in the world. The ones that say I know are dumber than a mule. Yeah, I know. I know. Well, you know this is going, yeah, I know. Well, you know, you keep doing that, this is going, yeah, I know. Well, you going to change? No, probably not. But I know. No, you don't know. Everybody look at me. No, you don't know. You don't know the cost, or you wouldn't be living like that. You don't know the consequence, or you'd change. You don't know what your life is doing, or you wouldn't live the way that we're living. If you really knew, if I really knew, if we really knew, we would be different.
Yeah, right.
But we're not because we don't know. Because we refuse to go by the Word of God. The Word of God is written simply. He tells us. He tells us what to do. It's not hard. What it does, it works on our pride. Because we're going to do what we want to do, and ain't nobody telling us what we're going to do, and we're especially not listening to the man up there behind the pulpit. We'll turn him off and not listen. Well, I'm not the one that wrote the message. When you stand before God, there's not going to be a smart aleck remark come out of your mouth. You're not going to say, yeah, but I thought, no, he's got the last say. And the Bible teaches that he's going to use his word to show it. Everybody hear me? So we probably ought to try to learn his word, don't you think? I believe that would be right. We need the Lord, that's for sure. As we continue this morning, I want you to think about some things. I want you to think about just how serious the heart of the home is. And there's no way that I can bring everything to light. There's no possible way. But while we've looked at the home already in the past few weeks, we've looked at God. The home is supposed to be God reflected. God made us like Him. He says in our image, in His image, in our image. Let me create man in our image. Male and female created He them in our image. All right, and we are to reflect God. Our life is supposed to reflect God. Our home is supposed to reflect God. They wasn't no neighbors. They were just man and woman. One home, one household, Adam and Eve, and they were supposed to reflect God. And then He told them to multiply and replenish the earth. So then they was going to replicate what they had in their home. So God showed us we were supposed to be a reflection. And then God showed us that we're supposed to replicate it. That we teach our children and they go do the same thing, created in the image of God, being in relationship with Him, walking, having a home, a godly home. There is no space for an ungodly home. We're supposed to have a godly home. Everybody understand? And then we looked at God's rules. He set up some rules, if you would. He set up that we rule, that we have dominion over the earth, that we have dominion over, and it's God in charge. And we have marriage and a home is not oppressive. All right? Can I tell you, we our mind works, and we refer to a marriage as, well, lost all my freedom. We tell the young men when they get married, well, your freedom's gone. You know? Where's the old ball and chain at? You never hear that remark concerning a wife? Where's the old ball and chain at? Why is that like that? Because we already feel that our marriage, our home is oppressive. Well, it's not supposed to be oppressive. God makes us that we be operational. Are you hearing me?
Right.
He makes us that we work together in a relationship with God the way He intended. All right? So we've been looking at it being a covenant. We've been looking at how we are supposed to have that covenant with the Lord. That's how he made it. And last week we looked at the purpose of man, the priority of man, the problem of man, the place of man. That's what we looked at last week. We seen how, and it was Mother's Day, but we preached to the men. All right? How they're to be, the wife is supposed to be our priority. And now we're going to look at something else concerning a covenant. Let's look at some scripture here. Is everybody with me so far? Don't turn me off now.
Yes.
All right. Joshua chapter 24 verse 15 says this, "And if it seem evil unto you this day, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Somewhere we're going to have some men and women that's going to stand up and say, regardless of what anybody else does, that we're going to serve the Lord. Have enough backbone. Be a man enough to take your home by the horn, if you would, by the ears, and say, "This is my home, and we're going to serve the Lord, period." Set your house in order. Men, have a godly home. You say, "Well, I can't make them." Well, maybe you do a little better than you're doing. Huh? It's your responsibility. It's man's responsibility. Joshua, he had enough authority and enough close walk with God that he spoke for four generations. Didn't he speak for his wife and kids? He spoke for four generations. Now that's pretty good authority. Pretty good respect when he spoke for his kids, his grandkids, his great-grandkids, and his great-grandkids. Said, "Y'all do what you want to do, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And everybody should say amen right there.
Amen.
And you ain't going to say amen because you're not willing to do it. Now, if you don't amen me this morning, I expect all of you at the altar this morning.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you now. Because it's going to be right down her, between her eyes, right down her pipe this morning. Okay? And you either back it up or repent. All right? Because the shape of our home is the shape our church is in. And the reason our church is dead and unspiritual is because our homes ain't spiritual. Because we're out of order. Amen, preacher. Proverbs chapter 27. I'm not mad at nobody. But I'm not going to back up on the book.
Amen.
Huh? I ain't going to do it. Psalm chapter 127. Verse 1. "Except the Lord build the house." Well, ain't none of us got the ability to do it. We can't do it by ourselves. We got to have the Lord. We got to have this book. We're going to have to walk with God and talk with God and read His Word. Because we can't do it this morning.
Right.
We can't do no. We've got to have the Lord.
Right.
We've got to. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Huh? Think about Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 and 25. "Therefore," Jesus speaking, "therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock." That's what we got to have this morning. Family, that's what we got to have. Now Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. Now hang with me now. Malachi chapter 2 verse 14 says, "Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." We can plainly see through the scripture that there is a covenant in a home. There's a covenant in a marriage. There's a covenant between man and God, and that trickles down to then man and wife. And there is a covenant that God is the one that authorizes it. God is the one that starts it. God started the home. Before he ever started a church, before he ever made a neighbor, before he made anything, he made a home with all the creation and then man and woman together. He brought the woman to the man. He brought the woman to the man. He made man out of dirt, and he made woman out of his side, out of his rib, and he brought her to him to complete him, that they might walk together and be prosperous in the eyes of the Lord for the glory of the Lord, whether there was anybody else or not. It was supposed to be God, man, and wife. That's what the Bible teaches. He then made a church. And he gave us a groom, a husband, the name of Jesus Christ. And he espoused a bride to him of whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And that becomes the bride. And he espoused only one bride. The church. And he's going to marry us off one day. And we'll be clean and white, robed in the righteousness of the saints, and be joined together with Christ for all eternity. Huh? And he shows us that pattern with a husband and a wife. That's how he shows it. Now we look again at that God ordaining the home, if you would, how it was being God reflected and God replicated, and then God ruled, and then we looked at the place of man, if you would, the purpose of man, the priority of man, the problem of man, and the place of man. Now, in a covenant, you got who authorizes the covenant? Well, God did. Right? Then, in any covenant that you'll read through the scripture, there is a order to the covenant. Are you listening to me? There's an order. For a husband and wife, it's a hierarchy, if you would. It's an authoritative order. Everybody hear me? And we looked at that. How that Christ is the head of man is the head of woman. God's the head of Christ. We looked at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Huh? We okay? Yeah. Now, with any covenant. Now, what is a covenant? It's an ordered relationship between God and man. A binding agreement outlining specific duties, emphasizing loyalty and mutual obligation. That's what a covenant is. So we see who authorized it. Who made it? Was God. We see the hierarchy or the order that it's supposed to be. The authoritative order. It was God, the head of Christ. Christ, head of man. Man, the head of woman. Anything out of that order is not Bible. There's no substitutes. No substitute. All right? It's a covenant. It's a binding agreement. It's a binding agreement. Okay? Are we still okay?
Yes.
Now, with the covenant, there's rules. There's rules. With any covenant you'll see, you'll go back to Noah, you go look at Moses, you look at Abraham, you look at David, and even our covenant with the Lord, the new covenant, that you must come by blood. But it's the shedding of blood. There's no remission of sin. It's got to be by Christ or you don't get in. There's rules in every covenant.
Yeah,
right. Now, we're not signing a contract.
Right.
We're signing a covenant.
Right.
We signed that covenant when we said, I receive Christ as my Savior. Are we still okay?
Yeah.
Now, we go look at the rules. And God made it so simple, He only made two. You know, when he created man, he made one rule.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Created man, don't fool with that tree.
Yeah.
Heard a preacher say, don't mess with the Google tree. So everybody wants Google now. So don't fool with the Google tree. That's the knowledge, the tree of knowledge, right? You got to Google it. Everybody will Google to see if what I say is right. You know, you type in stuff now, and if you'll look closely, it'll say AI something. And that tells you that the answers you're getting is not from a person. It's from a computer. All right? Y'all understand it. Now, I don't know where this AI is at, but you better be careful. We better get back to the book. You know what the book says. All right? So let's look at the rules. The rules are simple. They ain't but two. All right? There was one in a garden. Man fell. He said, okay, now I'm going to help you. I'm going to move inside of you. Now listen to this. I'm going to move inside of you, and I'm going to up the ante a little bit. I'm going to give you two rules. I'm going to give a rule for the men. They don't have to worry about but one. And I'm going to give a rule for the women, and they don't have to worry about one, but just one. There are different rules. One rule for the men, one rule for the women. Are you hearing me? Talk to me if you're hearing me. All right? Now, I'm coming inside of you so you can know how to keep the rules. Ain't that wonderful? Huh? Two or three of you, you're so glad that Christ came in. He comes inside that we might be able to keep the rules. Now this, we're not talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about relationship with God. How we're to walk with God. We okay? So let's find the rules. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we can find the rules right here. Ephesians chapter 5, let's start at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, why is that a rule? Why is that a command? That's not a suggestion.
Right.
Don't drink wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Can I tell you that now listen to me now. It's a bigger sin not to be filled with the Spirit than it is to drink wine.
Right.
The way that's written. You study on that one. We'll harp and say, don't drink. How many here is again drinking? Roll your hand up if you're again drinking. Hold your hand up. How many being filled with, four being filled with the Spirit? Hey, how many don't drink? Hold your hand up. How many live to be filled with the Spirit? How come not many hands been up? How come? How come we're not filled with the Spirit? How come? How come? Because we don't believe it. We don't believe it's a command. We believe we ought not drink because it looks bad. But what do you think it looks like when a dead church is in the middle of a lost town and ain't full of the Spirit of God? There ain't no difference in looking at the church laid out in the ditch, drunk as a monkey. Huh? Not right? Is that not right? So, and it shows me that I can't keep the rules unless I'm filled with the Spirit. I need God's help. Are you following me? So let's see what the rules are. We're okay? Now what's going to aid me in this is verse 19. Speaking to yourselves. Marriage will make you talk to yourself. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Can I tell you what's going to help us this morning keep these rules? If we are filled with the Spirit and we have the relationship that we sing and talk to God, have a melody in our heart, that it's a good thing to be saved this morning. Hey, it's good to be saved. It's good to be saved this morning. It's good to have Christ in our heart. It's good to walk with God. It's good to have His Word. It's good to be able to talk to Him. And if we can't get that far, we're in sad shape this morning. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to aid us in keeping these rules. Okay? Now, let's find the rules. Verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, treat your husband like he's Christ.
Amen.
Wives, treat your husband like he's Jesus Christ. Wives, treat your husbands like he's Jesus Christ. For the husband is the head of the wife. That's why you do it. Even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as this church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The rule for the husbands is that you love your wife as Christ loves us. Exactly. No, I ain't backing me up much. Now listen, I'm a husband. It hurts me. Because I don't do it. And my wife don't do it either. We want to. But we have a big problem. It's a four-letter word. S-E-L-F. Self. Self keeps me from loving her like I ought to love her. And self keeps her from submitting to me like she ought to submit to me. Because we like us better than we like anybody.
You're right.
All right? Now I know that, well, that ain't the way I was raised. Well, you was raised wrong. Well, that ain't what my daddy told. Well, your daddy was wrong. That ain't what my mommy was. Well, your mommy was wrong. The Word of God is what's right. We don't line up with the Word of God, we're wrong. If we don't line up with the Word of God, we ought to repent. If we're not going to repent, then we're going to be judged. And the consequences of judgment is not good. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and see the wife see that she reverences her husband. Both rules in verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, let every one of you in particular, let every one of you in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's the two rules of marriage. Anything out of that is out of order, and God will not bless to capacity in a home that's out of order. And that's why he can't bless the church in capacity. Because the home's out of order. And I'll just go ahead and go out on a limb and tell you that's why our town's going to hell, because our home's out of order. Now hear me this morning. This is it. Man's responsibility. What is man? We start with the man. Why are we going to start with the man? Because he's the responsible party.
Right.
We done looked at that.
Yeah.
The Bible says that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for the law of sin. Death didn't come because Eve sinned. Death come because man did. Man's responsible. When God come looking in the garden for Adam and Eve, he didn't say, Eve, where you at? He said, Adam, where you at? If Adam had been in his place and hadn't done a role reversal and put Eve in charge, instead of her listening to him, he listened to her. And because of that, God said to Adam, where you at? Where are you at? Adam said, is that woman you give me? He said, why did you hearken to her? Why did you hearken to her? I told you to hearken to me. I told you to go by revelation, not by reason. To go by my word. And you went by her. What the Bible said. He said, well, woman, why, what was your problem? Well, it was that serpent. It's always the neighbors, ain't it? Ain't it, Cheryl? It's always the neighbors. Ladies, it's always the neighbors. We ain't in the message yet. This is all introduction. Y'all quiet? I can't wait to see what y'all probably get them walk out. Everybody's going to go to the bathroom at one time here in a minute. Rule number one, man's responsible to love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Biblical love. Listen to the definition now of biblical love. This is a biblical love. It's the decision. The decision to righteously, compassionately, and sacrificially seek the well-being of another, regardless of emotion. Now let me say it again. Biblical love is the decision. Y'all choose it. The decision to righteously, compassionately, and sacrificially seek the well-being of another regardless of emotion. The cross is our example. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. You need no other example than the cross to see how to love your wife. That's the only example you need. Not your grandparents, not your uncle, not your aunts, not Dr. Phil, not any of the people on the TV, not Hollywood. Huh? Look at the cross and how Christ loves us. Then you bring it down to love one individual. Ain't that something? Christ showed his love to the world from everlasting in the past to everlasting in the future. From Adam, the cross was for Adam. The cross was for Adam. Adam would have never went to heaven had it not been for the cross. And the last man or woman born will never go to heaven without the cross. The cross is still the center of everything. And you look to the cross. Husbands, you look to the cross to see how you're to love your wife. Well, how does Christ love us? Well, he loves us to start with. And listen to me. The wife ought to know that she's loved. Let me ask you this morning, as a church, do you believe that God loves you, that Christ loves you? Talk to me. I mean, why would you think that? Only because you was a drunkard, lying, cheating, a blasphemous, gambling, adulterer, idolater, dope head. Other than that, and Christ took you, I don't really know what else would show love. To take us and to make us brand new and forget it all and make us brand new in Christ. Giving us a brand new life, eternal life with Him in heaven. I mean, that's a lot. Yes, right. Ain't it a lot? Yes. Show me the cross and I'll show you how much He loves me. Show me the cross. Don't just tell me words. Show me the cross. And I'll know how much He loves me. Right. And a wife ought to be able to see. I'll be able to feel. I'll be able to hear that she is the husband's highest concern. It's not hid. It's not hid to me that Christ loves me. It's not hid. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from there, if I will draw on me, he draws everybody to him to sue that he may show them how much he loves us. And can I tell you, love for our wife can't be hid. If you're hiding it, you ain't hiding it, you ain't got it. Let me say that again. If you think you're hiding it, you ain't hiding it, you ain't got it. Because love exposes itself. True love exposes itself. Now hang with me now, guys. Come on, guys. Biblical love is to love righteously. That's with a pure love, an honest love, huh? The right love. Not in exchange. Christ don't love us if we do something. It says over in Revelation that he loved us, then he washed us. He didn't wash us, then love us. He loved us, then washed us. He didn't expect nothing from us. He loved us anyway. And our way to love our wife is to love her anyhow. Is to love her anyhow. And you say, well, you don't know who I'm married to. Well, you shouldn't have married her. Huh? What was it I seen? It was some woman jumped on Abraham Lincoln bad. And he had made some kind of speech and offended her. She ran up to him and said, Mr. President, if you was my husband, I would poison you. And he said, if you was my wife, I'd drink it. That's nobody's concern. The command is that we love our wife righteously, right, pure, honestly. That's how we're to love. Not only righteously, but compassionately. We're to love our wife kindly, in kindness. That kills me every time. Because I am so sarcastic. And my words sometimes are so sharp. They are. You ought to know that. You listen to me every Sunday. Well, it ain't no different down at the house. I can say this. I ain't no different down at the house. And their words are sharp down there too. And I'm ashamed of that. I'm trying. I'm still trying. Sure, I'm sorry. I'm still trying. Some days I do better. You know, some days I do better. But you provoke me. You push my back. It's all your fault. Right? Right? That's why we're unkind. It's all their fault. That woman you give me, Lord. No, that ain't the problem.
That's
right. The heart of the home. Are you listening to me this morning? Listen to me now. I've got to hurry. If y'all listen better, I'll preach faster. Compassion, love, compassion, kind, sincere, understanding. And you'll say, wait a minute, preacher, you want us to understand a woman? I didn't say to understand her. I said love understanding.
Right.
Ladies, I love you, but all women are crazy. Some are crazier than others. All women are crazy. You just gotta love them understandingly. Huh? Now, guys, there was your chance. You could have hollered amen. You know, you got a yellow streak up your back, so why? Listen to me. Compassionately, kind, sincere, understanding, ready to relieve. Love, compassion, ready to relieve them of hurt, strife, problems. Are you hearing me? Does he not love us like that? Can we not take time to love our wife like that we spend every day with and we go to bed with, get up in the morning? Can we not love compassionately? Can we not love righteously? And how about sacrificially? Sacrificially is giving up oneself for the benefit of another. Is that not how Christ loved us? He gave himself for the benefit of all the world.
Right.
And we're to love Christ. We're to love like Christ loved. This includes unconditional love. Sacrificial love is unconditional love. You say, well, they don't deserve to be loved. Well, and you do. Can anybody here raise their hand and say, yes, I deserve love? No. No, we all deserve shot. Right? But we love unconditional. We love unconditional. Not only do we love unconditional, but we forgive. We love. Unconditional love is forgiveness and patience. Patience. You say, oh, Lord, she gets on my nerves. Yeah. Lord, how many times I get on your nerves? How many times do you just wish, ooh. Huh? You reckon he ever feels like that toward us? Huh? You reckon he ever feels like, why do I even bother? Huh? Why don't, well, this will ease me. You're done. You're history. Whew. But then he's got the fella beside him the same way. Huh? Are you hearing me? We're supposed to love. Now the Bible teaches we're loving like Christ now. Go through your Bible and read how Christ loved us and then you loved your wife. If you're not loving your wife like that, you're just wrong. Now, if you're cutting at it, alright, and you ain't getting it yet, just keep cutting at it. Alright? But if you refuse to cut at it, you're a wicked individual. If you refuse to try it, you're a wicked person.
Yeah.
All right. Not only forgiveness and patience, but it's forever. I believe that was in something in Sunday school this morning about him loving us forever. Didn't you say that this morning? I think you said that he loves us forever. How long are we supposed to love our wife? Forever. Forever. Never quitting. I know that's a hard place. I know we all got past. We can't go back and fix it. But can I tell you, God's way is to quit, never quit loving. Talk to me. Always ready for reconciliation. Always ready for reconciliation. Listen to me. The Lord don't say, I forgive you, but get away from me. Never, never says that. He always says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. All through the scripture, he says, come, come, come. He never says, get away. He always says, come on, come on, come on, come on, let's walk together, let's walk together. And that's the way we're supposed to love them. We okay? God's love, Christ's love, always demonstrates itself. We okay? Listen to me now. Listen to me. But that sacrificial love, it says give himself. We're supposed to be doing for a wife. Listen, guys, I'm going to make a statement here and you ain't going to like it. All right, I want everybody to listen closely. I want you to write down on paper when you get home this afternoon. I want you to write down on paper. Just do this. Ain't going to hurt you. I don't figure none of you will do it, but then we'll tell you anyway. Write down on the paper, put it on a column, you, and put it on a column, her. And write down everything that you do for her, and then write down everything that she does for you. And if your list is not longer than hers, you're out of order.
Amen.
Now I'm going to say that again. You write your list down of all that you do for your wife and all that she in turn does for you, and if your list is shorter than hers, you're out of order. You've broken covenant. Because we're to love as Christ loved the church. And there's no way that we can outgive him. There's no way that we can outdo him. There's no way that we can go further. And that's our comparison. That's what the Bible says. That ain't what preachers say. That's what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
So you make your list. And you look and see. And if your list is shorter than hers, you need to repent to her and repent to God and work on your covenant. Huh? Now, I gotta hurry. I'm gonna give the women theirs real quick. Hey. Listen, marriage is not happiness. You know, people search for happiness in a marriage. You're wrong. Happiness is not what you search for. Happiness is a fruit.
That's right.
Happiness is a fruit of a Bible marriage. The goal of a Bible marriage is to be our relationship in order with God and husband and wife as He intended. That's the goal. And when that is successful, then there's happiness in the home because it's a fruit of obedience. Everybody look at me. Happiness is the fruit of obedience.
Yeah.
Is anybody getting this?
Yes.
Huh? I've been studying and reading and looking at the church and Christ and us and the home. And man, all I can say is, God, I'm sorry. I'm a wreck. Huh? I'm a wreck. We still okay? Now, rule number two, real quick. Rule number two. Rule number one is for a man, man's responsibility to love. Rule number two is a woman, she's to respect and reverence. You say, well, don't she supposed to love her husband? Everybody look at me this way. There is no scriptural command for a wife to love her husband. I'm not saying not to. I'm just telling you there's no scriptural command for a wife to love her husband. There is a scriptural command for a husband to love his wife. The scriptural command is for a wife to submit to her husband. The scriptural command, now I know it says in Titus for the elder women to teach the young women how to love their husband, all right? But there's a difference in meaning there. One's not a command, one's a suggestion. Just read your scripture. I know you're looking through, now I know somewhere it says that. I'm just telling you, there's no scripture command that says, wife, love your husband. We're supposed to love one another in the body of Christ. We're supposed to love our enemies. That might be it. Huh? See, the rule for the wife is to submit, to reverence, to respect. See, a wife lives by her heart, and she needs a man that'll love her heart. All right? A man don't live by his heart. He lives by his head. And he needs a wife that'll boost his ego. We don't like to call it that. It's like, a man's like a coon dog. Anybody here ever coon hunt? Raise your hand if you ever coon hunted. Alright? Coon hunting's a, if you never coon hunted, you just missed out. Ain't nothing like going through the woods. You like go out and be in the middle of a laurel thicket trying to get out. Listen to a dog bark. You know, people think that's crazy. It's the greatest thing in the world. All right? But when that dog trees, you don't go up to the tree, get away from her. Get away from her. Now that's how wives treat their husbands. What you do to a dog is treed. Oh, speak to him, boy. Hey, get him now. Speak to him. And the more you brag on him, I mean, he'll tear up. He'll pull limbs and sticks, and he'll will he not talk to me, guys? I mean, he'll scratch out leaves, see him. And the more you talk to him, oh, it sounds good. Talk to him, boy. Talk to him. I mean, he just goes crazy. Am I right, Arthur? Huh? I mean, ain't that the way they do? If you're quiet, they'll look at you like, okay, I've done my part, now what? Well, let's go on to the next one. No! 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 But what you're doing, you're boosting that dog's ego. And your words, women, cut deeper than a sword in your criticism of your husband when that's unbiblical. You ought to be building him up for the worth that he is. You say, well, he ain't worth much. That's your fault. Listen to me. Respect and reverence. Acknowledging the authority, experience, recognizing the worth of a husband. The husband, listen to me, the husband should know from your lips and life that he is held in the highest esteem. Your husband is the king of the castle. Can I tell you that the queen didn't even go in? Read your scripture. Without the permission of the king, the queen didn't even go in. Read the book of Esther. Because there's no higher than the king of the castle. And the wife is supposed to have the husband up as the king of the castle. Huh? That's right, women. That's right. Huh? Women need to love men. Sure. I'm not going to say to hate them. Huh? We're talking about the command. Everybody clear on that? We're talking about the scriptural command. It don't say, wives, love your husbands. It says, wives, submit to their authority. Submit to their honor. You help them. You're a helpmeet. Not just a clothes washer, meal cooker, baby maker. Huh? But you're a helpmeet to walk together in for the glory of God. Huh? We still okay? Let's turn to 1 Peter. Let's read a little scripture here. Let me ask you, husbands, do you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Think about it. Huh? Wives, are you esteeming your husband as the highest honor upon this earth? Let me tell you where we mess up. We get married, we have kids. Sometimes we have them quickly. And all of our focus goes on the kids. And that's unbiblical. The kids don't come before the husband. The kids don't come before. The husband never loses his position because there's children. The wife never loses her position because there's a job. You hearing me? The children are temporary. 18 years at the best. And they're on their own. And they're to forsake father and mother. And we spend 18 years forgetting our spouse. And when the kids grow up, they're strangers in the home. They're strangers in a home. And most marriages divorce after the kids are gone. Because we got out of order. Are you hearing me? Listen, there's nothing colder. Listen to me. There's nothing colder in this world than a mother-in-law's kiss. And there's nothing sharper than a criticizing wife. Nothing sharper than a criticism of a wife. It's you can't, you don't, you ain't. When you be riddle them down to nothing, there's nothing worse. 1 Peter chapter 3, over there. Look at verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any man. Can I tell you, that's how you reverence your husband, to where you like Lord. You reverence him like the Lord. Wives, do you? Or do you have such a bad attitude, that's why he stays gone? I told you about the old man. They were married for 60 years, and they said, How long, what do you give, to, what do you explain how you've been married 60 years? He said, long walks. And the fellow said, what do you mean long walks? He said, long walks, that's how come I've been married 60 years. And he said, well, explain. He said, well, I'll go home, throw my hat in. If she throws it back out, I go for a long walk. Are you listening to me? Now, wives, listen to me. Y'all think I'm sharp. Y'all think my words cut sharp. How many times you let your husband have it all? He's worked 12 hours, drove 2 hours one way, worked 12 hours, come home after driving 2 more hours, and he forgot the milk at the store. I'll do it all! You make the husband feel like he's nothing? Are you listening to me, ladies? Things is quiet. Y'all was no one backing me up now. Ain't much saying. Can we read a scripture? Now I'm going to read you something. Now I'm not meaning nothing off color in any way, shape, or form now, but I want you to listen. There wasn't no miracle in the home of Abraham and Sarah until she called him Lord. There's no miracles in our homes now, and there's no miracles in the churches because things are out of order. Let's look in Genesis chapter. Let me see here. Chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Are we there? I got to hurry. Y'all was tired. You got to hurry. I got all kinds of strength. I've had 18 cancer treatments and heart attack and all this. Y'all just hang on there. I'm almost give out. I know it's hard on y'all to listen. Let's find it here. Genesis 18. Are we okay? Listen to me this morning. Look at verse 11. Genesis 18 verse. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. Yeah, 190. He's 100, she's 90, right? And well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old. Now look at the reading of your Bible. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? The Lord just told Sarah, you're going to have a baby. She said, wait a minute, I'm 90 years old. You mean I'm going to have pleasure with my husband? That we're going to have intimacy? He's 100. I'm 90. Will I have pleasure with my Lord? When she got in line and called him Lord, she'd been barren for all these years. Hang with me now. I'm not taking that out of context. Read your Bible. After she called him Lord, did she not conceive? Talk to me. After she called him Lord, did she not conceive? She conceived. She called him Lord. That's the only place you'll find it there, other than 1 Peter. She called him Lord. She conceived, and a miracle in the home. Can I tell you, we won't see the supernatural things in our home because we're out of order. We've got men that won't love their wives, and we got wives that won't submit to their husband. And we don't see the supernatural things of God in our home, and we're definitely not going to see them in the church house. Amen. Now that's scripture. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. You okay with me? I don't know if you are or not. Now, let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The wife said, well, my husband, he don't do right. Well, a lot of our husbands don't do right. A lot of our wives don't do right. How about we just all say none of us do right? Amen, preacher, right there. How about let's give us a good freebie here. Amen, preacher. Ain't none of us any good. All right? Now, husbands, as you are the leader in your home, you're supposed to be leading in the Bible, the Word of God, in prayer, in church attendance, in the spiritual things, in tithing, giving, sacrificing. And when you do your part in the loving the way the Lord wants you to, then they're going to be easier for them to submit to your leadership because they're going to see us submitting ourselves unto God. And if they see us submitting ourselves to God in what He said, then they're going to get in line and submit themselves to us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So if your husband's failing, you do right, and they'll do better. that what that says?
Yes.
Talk to me now.
Yes.
Husbands, if the husbands are missing out a little bit, you double up on your part and they'll line up. How about that? While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel. Now that don't mean you can't go to the beauty shop and put on makeup. That ain't what that means. That means that that's not where your focus is. Your focus is not on your outward appearance. Your focus is on the inward appearance. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Said, but let it be the hidden man. See, that's why. Verse 4 explains it. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, not a criticizing, downing, domineering, dogging, nagging. Man married a wife, not a horse. Don't need no nagging. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, the holy women also who trusted in God. We got any women in here who are holy and trust in God?
Yes.
Well, just as I am without one plea. Come and get saved this morning. We don't have no holy women who trust in God?
Yes.
Surely, I'm going to ask you, yeah, do we have any holy women in here that trust in God?
Yes.
Wow, it's a tough crowd. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We're not going to see no miracles in the home. If we're out of order, we're not going to see no miracles down at the church house. Finally, verse 8, finally be all one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. See, when I say, I can say Sister Cheryl too. Sister Cheryl Ann. I never call her Cheryl. It's always Cheryl Ann. If I'm outside and I say, hey, Cheryl Ann. I never say Cheryl. So that's Sister Cheryl Ann. She's my sister wife. She's my sister wife. It's part of the body of Christ the same as I am. Finally, be ye of all one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. Takes two people to argue. Say it again. It takes two people to argue.
Right.
One can rant and rave. Takes two people to argue.
Right.
Huh? Not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. That means when she gets bent out of shape, bless her heart. Huh? Knowing that ye are therefore called that ye should inherit a blessing. How many blessings are we inheriting? I know what time it is. Don't work at your watch. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace in his soot. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Cheryl, if you've a mind to, go ahead and go to piano. And just play softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Now, I preached what God has given me with all my heart. If I've never preached a message I know that he wanted, this morning I know for a fact it's what he wanted. I'm going to ask you this. Husbands, are you right or not? Wives, are you right or not? How many husbands and wives will slip out of their seat and find my place on the front benches around this altar and say, God, I've not been what I'm supposed to be, but I want to do from today on, I want to do all I can do to keep covenant. Play just so you get it, Cheryl. Uh-huh. To keep covenant with you and my marriage. You need to come together. Say, well, my spouse ain't with me. Then come by yourself. Do your part. Listen, this is the vital part of our church and of our life and our children. I'm not begging you to alter. I want you to make a commitment about this covenant. Huh? Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. See that you reverence your husband. It's what we're to be this morning. It ain't gonna work no other way. It ain't gonna work no other way. It ain't. We can't go back and repair and fix. We can't fix the drywall. We gotta work on the foundation. We can't patch and repaint. We gotta fix the foundation of the home we got now. We all got regrets and we all got mistakes and we all things that we wish we could have done or should have done. Well, that's gone. Why can't